When people feel like they or their property have been injured physically, economically, psychically, they often go to court and say their rights have been violated. So people have rights, we generally all agree. Things get a bit more discussion when we move beyond people. There are plenty of people who dispute the idea that animals have rights, for example. What about the rest of nature? The Yurok Tribal Council recently went deeper into this zone when it declared that the Klamath River itself has rights. Let's get into the declaration and what it might mean. Two guests join us. Amy Cordalis is the tribal attorney for the Yuroks. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Geneva Thompson is with us as well, a tribal law expert. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Amy, let's start with you about the Yurok's move here. Has this been considered for a long time?
Yeah. Well, first off, Sana Koi, as we say in Yurok country, that means good morning. And the protection of the Klamath River is of paramount concern and priority for the Yurok tribe. And so the council is always looking for creative ways to express its sovereignty and increase the protections of the river through tribal law. So this was the latest manifestation of that effort.
And then, Geneva, why don't we bring you in here? What does it mean to acknowledge rights to nature?
So acknowledging the rights of nature is basically granting personhood rights for nature. And so the nature entity gets treated like any person would in a court of law. And so that's standing and the award of remedies.
Is it a recognized legal doctrine in courts at this point?
She's going to hand that one over to me. At this point, we are the only, I think there's one other entity that has recognized a legal right to nature to bring a cause of action in court. And we're going through our papers here. It was basically the White Earth tribe, so a band of the Chippewa people recognized the rights of wild rice. And so this is somewhat of a new way to protect ecosystems. And the Yurok tribe has always been on the forefront of protecting the Klamath River, so it's consistent with our approach to asserting our sovereignty to take this kind of step.
So, Amy, why don't you give the people who might not know a sense of the centrality of the Klamath River to the Yurok people?
Absolutely. So I'm also a member of the tribe. My family is from the village of Rekwa, which is right on the mouth of the Klamath River. And my family, as well as the rest of the Yurok people, have lived along the Klamath River and also the coastline in the North Coast area since the beginning of time. We were never relocated. We have always been here. And the Klamath River is the lifeblood of our culture. Everything we do in some way relates to the river. We fish the river. We live along the river. We care for the river. In our core cultural covenants and our religious creation stories, it basically sets out that the Yurok people made an agreement with the Creator in which we had the great privilege of living on the river and benefiting from its immense bounty. But in exchange, we have the highest obligation and responsibility to protect it. And of course, now with all of the influences of climate change, lots of demands on water, poor water quality, dams, you name it, the river is in bad, bad shape. And so it's our duty basically stemming from that original agreement we made with the Creator to protect the river. So we were just talking about this on the way down, that there really aren't words in the English language to describe the Yurok tribe's relationship with the river. So I'll leave it with that for now.
We are talking to Amy Cordalis of the Yurok Tribe, General Counsel for the Tribe, about the declaration of the Yurok Tribal Council that the Klamath River has rights. Geneva Thompson, a tribal law expert, is also part of the conversation, and you can be too. Your thoughts, questions, comments, welcome here on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So Amy, you described some of the things that have been going on with the river in recent years. In fact, you personally were on the river when signs of the 2002 fish kill showed up. Is that right?
That is right. Yes, I was a junior at the University of Oregon, and I was home for the summer. I had a fisheries internship with the tribe, and it was my job that summer to go to the different Yurok fish camps and count everybody's fish. So the tribe operates a sustainable tribal harvest, and a part of that is to have people go out and count how many fish the tribal fishermen are catching, and so that was my job. And early September, we started seeing some of the fish die, and what they would do is they would come up out of the depths of the water and almost like gasp for air, and then they'd disappear back into the water. And then moments later, we'd see them float up to the surface, belly up, and they had died. So over a period of about a week, it's estimated anywhere between 70,000 to 100,000 adult salmon died within the lower 12 miles of the Klamath River, which is all on the Yurok Reservation. It was the largest fish kill in American history. It was absolutely devastating for the Yurok people. We felt like, a family member had passed. It was a form of what I have always called ecocide, where a natural resource that a people rely on is attacked, and it's a form of genocide on those very people. And that's how Yuroks experienced the fish kill. Of course, the fish kill was caused by man. That year happened to be a drought year, and a very, very large amount of water was diverted to support agriculture in the upper basin. And as a result of that massive water diversion, the flows downriver were beyond any kind of historical low flow in the river. So they were the lowest they'd ever been. And at that same time, a large Chinook salmon run returned to the river. And so it created the perfect storm to allow for a fish disease called ick to attack the salmon. And that's what killed all those salmon.
So without declaring legal rights to the river before now, has the tribe just found severe limits on its case to press for greater protection of the river?
Absolutely. The tribe has aggressively tried to defend the river through various lawsuits in federal court, through negotiated settlement agreements with other parties in the basin, through legislation. And we've had some successes, but it's not enough. And the current state of the river, the current state of the fishery demonstrates that. The tribe is a federally recognized nation, and so we have inherent sovereignty to enact our own laws. And so this newest resolution will empower the tribe through its own tribal law and through using our own tribal courts to protect the river. And what's interesting about the resolution is that it does establish the rights of the river as a person. So that means anytime an entity harms the river, when we say river, we mean comprehensively the whole system. So it's the species, the habitat, and basically from the headwaters of the river all the way down through into even the entrance of the Pacific Ocean. So anytime there's a harm, this resolution would authorize a cause of action in tribal court to protect the river and to recover a remedy to then address the harm inflicted by the offending entity.
Amy, was there any lesson gained here from corporate personhood in the United States?
Absolutely, yeah. So law is a reflection of cultural values. And in the United States, of course, we value economy, we value capitalism. And so the granting of a corporation personhood is a reflection of that value. Here in Yurok, we value the river. We value the river as sort of our most sacred, most important, and this was the thing we were struggling to find the right word, because it's not just an asset, it's not just a resource, it's more than that, and there isn't a word in the English language to describe that. But the gist is that we value it as one of the most important things here on the planet, and so it makes sense for us in our own tribal law to make sure that our modern tribal law reflects those cultural and religious values around the river.
We are talking about the Klamath River being granted rights by the Yurok Tribal Council. Amy Cordalis is a Yurok Nation member and a tribal attorney for the Yuroks. Geneva Thompson is a tribal law expert with us as well. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Geneva Thompson, are other tribes considering similar moves for entities in nature that are important to them?
Yes, we've had some folks reach out to us asking about this resolution and seeing how they could implement similar tribal law in their nations. And so we really think that this is a conversation starter, and really excited to see other nations move in this direction.
So, Amy, is there a next step? I mean, are we talking about using the declaration for pending court action taken by the Yurok tribe?
Absolutely. One of the next steps is that the resolution calls for the creation of a tribal ordinance. And so we are going through the tribe's legislative process now to develop the ordinance, which will set out the specifics about how these kinds of actions or causes of action will proceed. It's important to the tribe and certainly to my office that other entities are on notice, and also that they understand they have procedural rights. Due process is an important part of our own tribal law. And so the ordinance will set out the specifics of how these kinds of actions will proceed in the tribal court. And that ordinance will be available to the public so that people have, you know, notice of the ordinance and then also understand their due process rights in tribal court. In terms of specifics, the river is significantly compromised. Of course, climate change is an issue. We're dealing right now with a massive fish disease outbreak in the upper part of the river, kind of around the Oregon-California border. Somewhere around 83% of the baby salmon who are just out migrating are infected with C. shasta, which is a lethal fish disease. That kind of fish disease is basically happy, for lack of a better word, in conditions on rivers with dams and low water flows. And that's exactly what's happening on the Klamath right now. Of course, there are four dams on the Klamath River, and dams block sedimentary from moving through river systems. And what that creates is a riverbed with large surfaces, which then these little polychaete worms can attach to. And the spores with the C. shasta then get into these polychaetes, and then the polychaetes infect the fish. And then when there's not, a natural hydrograph with high flows, which would normally knock out these polychaetes, it allows those polychaetes to stay and multiply, and then they infect more and more fish. And on the Klamath, we haven't had sufficient high flows because our flows are heavily regulated and managed. And so that creates the perfect environment for these fish disease outbreaks, which are annihilating the Klamath salmon runs. So we plan to use this resolution to try to address issues like that on the river.
So the resolution is the statement of intent, and then the ordinance would actually give it some weight, some heft of law.
Well, it's a little bit of both. The resolution authorizes us to bring the cause of action in court. But again, it's a paramount concern that here at Yurok, we build our tribal law in a way that provides notice and due process, which are fundamental principles to American law, which we find value in incorporating into our own system, and which are also a part of our own traditional lawmaking. So the ordinance will serve those purposes.
So you were talking about the Klamath Dams, right, just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. There's an example of recent action at the federal level here with the Department of Interior reversing its Obama-era position in favor of dam removal. Now it's gone 180 the other way. Is there any tribal challenge anticipated to that?
Well, first, I'd like to clarify the action of the Trump administration. So the Trump administration has not taken a position on dam removal. And even after the withdrawal of their letter of support for dam removal, they still have not taken an official action in either direction.
All right, so they withdrew the letter, but haven't codified it the other way.
That's right. So what they did was, under the Obama administration, Sally Jewell, who was the Secretary of Interior, had submitted a letter of support on behalf of the federal government for dam removal, and they submitted that to the FERC record. The Trump administration withdrew that letter, but that was all it is. That letter was not a requirement under the KHSA, which is the agreement that basically sets out the terms for dam removal. It's not a requirement for dam removal to get through the FERC process successfully. So the letter itself was just sort of an extra boost to the process.
Okay, so with the from the eyes of the tribe, then the whole dam removal process is still moving ahead.
Absolutely. In fact, the dam removal entity has been hosting several meetings. Mm-hmm. We're moving through the regulatory process, making good progress. PacifiCorps recently issued a statement that it is committed to dam removal. We are moving forward, and things are going well.
All right, and I was just looking at the sea Shasta parasite you were talking about. That's some nasty stuff.
It is some nasty stuff. And in fact, it wiped out 80 to 90% of the baby runs in 2014 and 2015. So it's a reoccurring lethal fish disease in the Klamath River, and which really highlights why it's so important that we remove dams from the Klamath River if we want to save our salmon.
So the York Tribal Council now on record with a resolution establishing the rights of the Klamath River to exist, flourish, and naturally evolve. There are a lot more words than that. You can read it yourself online. Amy Cordalis is an attorney for the Yurok Tribe, and we're also joined by Geneva Thompson, a tribal law expert. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Wak Lao, thank you so much for having us.